name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back. It's April. It's another month. It's been April. This week is no different than last week.
This is correct, objectively. Nothing has changed.
We're going to get right into our question of the week because that was the most depressing intro I think I've ever done in the history of a show. And, you know, we are at 61 episodes now, so that's pretty cool.
61 together? No, 61.
I'm at 61.
Yeah.
Anyways, our question of the week is, what week is this working from home for you? Let me rephrase that better.
How many weeks have you been working from home?
There we go. This is week 4 for me, and I had to count because I was figuring out the last time I was in a bar. Yeah, I know, big milestone. I was figuring out the last time I was like out in public, and that was a certain day. And then that Monday, I think like St. Patrick's Day or like March 16th, I think was the first day I worked from home.
Mm-hmm.
So this is week 4. What about you?
Yeah, same for me. I just remember that Friday the 13th was my last day working at the office.
Cursed.
When we were all standing around like wondering, are we coming to work on Monday? We were all standing in a circle like 6 feet apart, like 10 of us.
I know some people who didn't work from home until like after that. And some people aren't working from home. Like some people are, you know, in the medical field and they can't do that. But I know some people that like still went into office and then they would socially distance their desks. So their desks would be 6 feet apart. And I was like, I don't know how that really works. I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. Like, just send everyone home. I don't know.
Yeah, like, the last three... I mean, it's a little different from us because we're, like, a public space... Or not a public space, but, you know, people pay to come to us and do things. So, there need to be people there. But there was an email that was sent out saying, hey, you should stay X feet apart and don't share food. That was, like, 3 days before. They were like, okay, everyone just go home.
Yikes. This week on the podcast, we are going through our best of list. So we have another, you remember in game show month, we have another wheelie thingy. We're going to spin the wheel and we're probably just going to end up doing them all. So I don't know what the point of the wheel is, but I guess it's sort of like...
For to determine order.
Yeah, right. It's better than just going down a list or whatever.
For us, for no one else. The experience the same for you.
Yeah. All right. Let's... spin. Are you ready? First of all, that's the first question.
I'm always ready.
All right, let's spin it. Colby, what is your best school field trip that you've ever had in your entire life?
So school field trip is an interesting question for me because I was in band. So like our band trip, school field trips... Does that count when the band goes somewhere to do a thing?
Yeah, I would say band. I mean, like, oh, well, yeah, that was something I was having a
hard... I guess it's not really a field trip because, like, we're going there for, like, an experience other than learning. So, let's go somewhere else. I've talked about my fancy elementary school before, my extended year magnet school. Support public schools. They're great. We did... So, in fourth grade, there were 3 overnight field trips. Did y'all have overnight field trips in elementary school? Was that a thing that you did?
Yeah, we had one. And, oh, man, this is going to sound... It's not as bad as it sounds, but my parents took me out early so we could go to Hawaii. So, I only did...
Myself.
Yeah, it was a 3-day trip, and I only did 2 days. And there's a funny story about that, but... It was like this nature center. So basically we did the sleepover at a nature center and we had to put our food in buckets. So like how much food waste did we do each week? And the day I was gone, apparently we got 0. So I always thought that was funny because I'm like a pretty picky eater and I'm not known to like a lot of food. So I try not to waste anything, but it happens.
So in fourth grade, we had 3 overnight field trips in North Carolina, or at least in Guilford County. The fourth grade is the first year where you learn about like the state of North Carolina. And for those of you who don't know North Carolina geography, there are like three areas of North Carolina. There is the beach, there is the Piedmont, and there is the mountains. So we had a trip to the beach. We had a trip to, where did we go? We went to Raleigh for the Piedmont, and we went to Grandfather Mountain for the mountains. And I remember...
Grandfather Mountain sounds like it's a Disney thing. Like, oh, we're going Grandfather to Grandfather Mountain.
Race to Grandfather Mountain, starring The Rock.
Yeah. I want to see that sequel.
I remember the trip to Grandfather Mountain the most. Actually, I remember going to Raleigh because we stayed overnight at the North Carolina Museum of Natural History. And I remember it was right when all the night the museums were coming out. And I was terrified of sleeping in a museum, in a science museum. So that wasn't fun for me. But when we went to the mountains, I remember it was a very windy day. And there was a girl in my class who, she was like very tiny. And it was kind of like drizzling. So a lot of people were wearing ponchos. And we were going to go on the swinging bridge, which is a bridge that swings, but we couldn't because it was too windy. So we were going back down to the gift shop area and walking through the parking lot. And all of a sudden, this tiny girl gets swept up by the wind with the poncho.
Oh, no.
It starts like flying off. Like, I'm pretty positive her feet were like off the ground. And her mom was like racing after her. And like, she's fine, so I can laugh about it. But I just remember she was standing there and then she wasn't standing there. And my mom was like yelling, "Jessica, no!" Her name's not Jessica, but I'll call her Jessica now. That memory has stuck with me forever. So I'm going to call that the best field trip just because it's the one I remember the most.
If we're not going orchestra trips in my case, we did a couple.
Orchdoric.
Yeah, so I was... So only like the good orchestra got to go, and like you can't get into the good orchestra until your second year. So I got in second year, but we went to cool places. So, well, but it wasn't even that cool. I don't remember where we went the first year. Oh, it was Appleton, Wisconsin. Yeah. So obviously super thrilling. The second year we went to Denver, which is cool. Like, that was fun. That's when I got really into, like, collecting shot glasses. Like, as a high schooler, I still have some from my Colorado trip, which is a weird fact. Then the last year, my senior year, we went to Duluth, Minnesota, which is a smallish town up north.
People know Duluth.
Yeah, I guess it's not very small. It's probably, like, the third biggest city in the state. So... those were probably pretty fun. I remember there's this girl who, I guess, she liked to party. And I was still a big nerd in high school, so I didn't do that. But she's like, "Let's go to the college and meet some boys." I was like, they said we can't do that. So I just remember that. I was like, no, man, I'm good. Like, you go have fun.
That makes me uncomfortable.
I know. Like, God, we were in high school. No. Like, just stay in the water park. But I guess other than that, man, the only one I can really think of is not the funnest one. So I'll go with that. I'll go with my orchestra trips as the best one. We were supposed to go to the Mall of America in physics class in high school, but that got canceled for my class, so we never got to do that. We have a comment from a listener, and it is from someone, and he asks, "I like how you have to ask best school field trip in your entire life as if either of you are going to be on another school trip." you're right. Semantics.
You don't know. My kids might go,
you could be a chaperone. Don't have.
They might go on a better field trip than what I went on.
Spin the wheel. Best meal.
Best meal. So I'm going to go best meal from a restaurant. So because world-class chef over here, follow my Instagram because I've been posting more of my food, my quarantine food.
Yeah, your meal yesterday looked really good. You didn't comment back on my react, though, so I felt upset.
Am I supposed to comment back to reactions?
I think you could just can like it, and that, like, acknowledges that you've seen it, but I felt...
I mostly just look at it and be like, oh, that's nice, and don't do anything else. So if I've ever done that to your reaction on Instagram, it's not because I don't like you. I just didn't know there was an etiquette.
There's some people that will react all the time to my stories. This is a detour, and I, like, always try to, like, say something back, because otherwise I'm just, like... They're just, like, shouting into the void. I don't know.
Sometimes you shout into the void. Anyway, yeah, this is my story. We were going to Greenville, South Carolina. I did not want to go to Greenville, South Carolina, but this was in 2017. And there was supposed to be a NCAA regional in North Carolina, I believe, that year, but it was moved to South Carolina because of House Bill 2, known nationally as the bathroom bill, that got all the events pulled from North Carolina because our governor at the time thought that it was important to know who's going into what bathroom. So all of our events got pulled. We had forced to go to Greenville, South Carolina. I was like, why the hell would I want to go to Greenville, South Carolina? It turns out it's a very nice city, and I would love to go back to Greenville, South Carolina. But we went to this place called Smoke on the Water. It's just like a, I guess you'd call it elevated southern food. Elevated soul food. I had the best brisket I have ever had in my entire life. And I have been thinking about it every time I see brisket on a menu. I was like, there's no way it'll ever be as good as Smoke on the Water. So that is probably the best meal I've ever had. But go to Greenville, South Carolina. It's nice.
The best meal in my entire life. That's a really hard one. Because it's like, do I want to go food-wise or do I want to go like experience-wise? Okay.
Is there a combo?
There is. Okay, well, I've kind of like two answers. So usually I like to go out to eat to a really, really fancy restaurant once a year and drop like $200 on a meal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, but I haven't done that in a long time, actually. So I can't say it. Anyways, I used to like to do that. But one year I was dating a guy. We went on vacation to Mexico. And I found this little boutique hotel because I followed this like fancy blogger and she went there and like posted about it. And I was like, okay, this looks cool. Like, I'm going to make reservations for us. It's going to be super fun. I almost didn't get into the restaurant because I wasn't dressed up nicely enough. Because we were like, this was like day 5 of vacation. Like, we were tired. I was super sunburnt and I was wearing shorts and like a nice shirt. It wasn't like a t-shirt or anything. I have a picture. If you want to like judge whether I was, dressed up nicely enough. But yeah, I almost didn't get in. And they're like, you're lucky we have room for you tonight. I was like, dude, I made the reservation. Like, I'm wanting to pay you. Please just let me in. The guy at the time, my boyfriend wasn't even dressed that much nicely. Nicer. Double standards. Anyways, so it was this restaurant in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it was kind of on the upper level of this hotel, so you could see out, the beach. At one point, there was a mariachi band, which was awesome. Also, felt like weirdly stereotypical, but I was, it was great. And we had like fish, bunch of fish. We had salmon, bunch of wine. We had appetizers. We had bread. We had pasta. It was like so good. We got so much food. And because the exchange rate in Mexico is like slightly different, so it's like 10 pesos is $1, it still topped out about like at $150, which probably would have easily been like a $300 meal in the States. But I think just for like the view alone and, the music and the wine, like that was probably the best meal in experience wise. But in food wise, I don't even know if I can count this, but the day after I got my wisdom teeth, no, I had sinus surgery. So like 2 days after, I was on a Valentine's Day date, and it wasn't Valentine's Day, it was a couple days before to, not do the whole expensive menu thing. But we went to this super fancy restaurant in South Minneapolis. It's called Martina, and we had like the best fish, and it was just so good. But I was like hopped up on painkillers and I could not, like I didn't drink. But even then, the food was that good. So I don't know if it, like the drugs affected my ability to taste or like maybe it enhanced my ability to taste. But that was probably like the best like food wise versus experience wise. Also, every time I eat a pizza, it's kind of like the best meal.
Every pizza? Every single one?
Except the pizza I had yesterday. It was pretty disappointing. It was a Trader Joe's margarita pizza. I always kind of forget how bad they are. They're like okay, but they're not great. Spin the wheel. What is the best Disney villain, in your opinion? I was talking about this last night with my movie club, my quarantine movie club, which I wanted to name the Quentin Quarantino movie club. That got voted down. That's irrelevant, but...
Can't imagine why.
We watched The Little Mermaid last night. Ursula's like probably top of the line for me. Not maybe top five, but I think if I had to pick my favorite Disney villain, it'd probably be Scar in The Lion King, or the humanity in WALL-E.
Humanity.
Additionally, what's the villain in Mulan? Like the Huns. Those are great villains, I think.
Yeah.
I would say those are my three. That's probably not the best, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably say the Huns in Mulan, because I think that's my favorite Disney princess movie, so.
I don't know. First of all, there are many, many great video essays on YouTube about queer coding and Disney villains. It's really interesting. Ursula is a great example of how she's literally modeled off of a drag queen. It's really interesting. There have been many video essays from people smarter than me about it. You should check them out. Another example being Scar. Scar is so good partly because he's had hundreds of years to be sculpted because he's just... literally straight up Claudius from Hamlet. When you have that much time to like refine what like a kid's version of a Shakespeare person would be, that's a great choice. Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame. Not a kid's movie, but a really good movie. What else? Those are the two that come to mind.
Those are good ones. I'm trying to think if there's any. I mean, like, if you want to include, you know, Marvel and Star Wars, Lucasfilm in the Disney umbrella.
I don't, but yeah, go ahead.
I don't either, but I'm just saying those could open up alternative villains.
I think that Gaston is a really interesting villain.
Is he a villain or is he just dumb?
I mean, he incites a mob at the end of the movie to go kill the beast by lying to the townspeople and gaslighting everyone into getting them to
so he's bad.
He's a pretty bad, but it's I don't want to say it's subtle, but it's not exactly the conniving that you normally see from a Disney villain, which is what I appreciate about Gaston. He's more layered than he's given credit for.
Like the onions.
Like the onions, like an ogre.
Oh, God, I really need to watch Shrek again. I keep quoting it. It's time.
Speaking of queer coding and villains.
Oh, the fairy godmother?
No, Lord Farquaad.
Oh, yeah, that's very egregious.
Which, fun fact, Jeffrey Katzenberg just wanted a way to say fuckwad in a children's movie. It's just why he named him Lord Farquaad.
Colby, what is the best card game you've ever played? And I want to clarify, I don't think we can... I mean, like, there's some favoritism in here, but I also think we should, like, really strive for, like, the best over what's our favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Because I was thinking about my favorite when I said this. I mean, listen.
Well, it could be your favorite.
I like Uno because everyone plays Uno differently. That's part of the appeal of Uno, is that every single household has different rules, and I appreciate that. I mean, other like black staples are like spades, and I do not play spades because I am terrified of upsetting somebody.
I don't think I know how to play that, so.
It's pretty simple, but like, there are two groups of black people. There are black people who love spades, and there are black people who are terrified to play spades, and I am definitely the second group. It's very scary. I don't want to disappoint anybody.
I hate Uno, I'll be honest.
What do you hate about Uno? Are you not good at it?
Of course I'm not good at it. I always lose. If I had to pick my favorite, I do think Cards Against Humanity, while it's maybe not the best game anymore, has really shaped a lot of card games. Like, there's a lot of spinoffs of that, and I think, like, we owe a lot to them, because it is, like, it's pretty fun. I haven't played in a very long time, but I play like similar games like What Do You Meme and stuff like that.
Have you played Red Flags?
I don't know what that is.
It's a similar-ish game where you're trying to set up the judge on a blind date, and you have like two good cards, and then someone else, like the person to your right, plays like a bad card, but it's like really, really bad. It's like, this person is a supermodel and you will never ever get into a fight. And then the next person puts on top of those two aspects. But they always are like dripping in fish feces.
Oh,
and it's just like six of those, and you have to choose which one you're going to like spend your life with.
That sounds fun. We should do a podcast episode on MASH. That just gave me an idea. Not the TV show, the game, but I have to give it up for Solitaire. I think that's probably my favorite card game. My favorite joke is like, yeah, I'm like, that's my party trick. I just go play Solitaire at parties. It's a bad joke. But I always used to play that at my grandma's house. And I don't know. I just really like it. That's probably a sad answer.
I've never played Solitaire with actual cards. I've only played on the computer.
It's easier because you can cheat.
Why are you cheating at solitaire? It is so hard to lose at solitaire. Like, it is difficult.
I mean, like, what's the fucking point? Like, you get to the end and you're like, oh, okay, I can't put that anywhere. No, you want to keep going, so you fudge a little bit.
Challenge yourself.
Never. all right, what's your best travel story?
Because I know there's a different question later. I'll say this one. In 2016, the University of North Carolina Tar Heels football team went 11-3, which won them a bid to the Russell Athletic Bowl, which is held in Orlando. It was an extremely fun trip, minus the bus ride. The bus ride was the only bad part. We left from Chapel Hill on December 26th. For those of you who aren't keeping up, that is the day after Christmas, and it was the worst traffic I have ever seen. It's why I hate driving through South Carolina, because South Carolina roads are terrible. It took us like 12 hours to get to Orlando, which kind of sucked. But when we got there, we did a lot of things. My favorite part, though, was we got a free trip to Disney World. Actually, we got paid to go to Disney World because we get per diem. And they gave us all park hopper passes. So we literally got to Magic Kingdom, or we got dropped off in Magic Kingdom, left Magic Kingdom, and went on the best ride in every park. Because our parade that we were playing in was the electric parade at the end of the day.
Ooh.
Which I've been in a couple times, but that means we had all day to do whatever we wanted in the parks as long as we got back for call. So we rode a bunch of roller coasters and came back.
Nice.
And still had a little bit more time, and it was really fun. We got to go to Universal too. We lost the football game. I'm so mad about that game, but everything else from the trip, minus the bus ride and that football game, were very fun.
I have a similar Disney trip. I don't know if it's my best one, but we did get to ride the Tower of Terror after dark, and I thought that was really fun. So we did, like, we got to see one of the Disney light shows at Hollywood Studios, and then they're like, oh, you get to go to the Tower of Terror after that, and that was, it was pretty cool, because, like, it was dark and like extra spooky.
But the Tower of Terror isn't the Tower of Terror anymore, right? Isn't it like a Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
No, it's still Twilight Zone related. As far as I'm aware, it was when I went last March.
Maybe it's the one in Disneyland that changed.
Yeah, that could be it. But that wouldn't make sense. Like, how would that be Guardians of the Galaxy related? You're literally in an abandoned hotel. How would they make... That's dumb. We need a Disney expert to weigh in.
Oh, here we go. The California version would be replaced by an attraction based on Guardians of the Galaxy titled Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. That lasted until January 2nd, 2017. And then they brought back Tower of Terror. So it was a Guardians of the Galaxy ride for a while, but...
Good memory.
Trivia. That's why. That's yeah, how I'm good right. at trivia.
I think my favorite story... So the best travel story I have is also kind of a sad one. Like, I was coming home from Denmark. I was coming back to London from Denmark, and I had no money. Like, I was flat broke. I had... At this point, I didn't have credit cards, so I was, like, just running on debit cards. I did have my dad's American Express, but, like, I needed cash, and I couldn't take out cash with an American Express card. So I was, like, trying to, like call my dad from the airport, Heathrow Airport. I was like, yo, dad, I don't have money to get to the hotel that you booked for me. So I was like, this was like the day before I was headed back to the States. So, oh God, it was just so bad. Like, I would like walk up and down the airport because I had to buy Wi-Fi to try to, you know, transfer money to my bank. But it wasn't going fast enough. And then I like tried to talk to the guys at the currency counter. I was like, hey, like, can you give me a cash advance on this American Express, which you can't do, I don't think, or you need to like go to a bank. I didn't have money to take an Uber. I didn't have money to take a taxi until finally someone took pity on me. They're like, yeah, so there's a free bus that you can take to your hotel. And I was like, really cool. Glad I've wasted 2 hours walking up and down the airport and asking all of these vendors and no one told me. Like, do they not want you to know about the free bus? I don't know. I was mad about that. Yeah, that's probably my best one, just because it was, like, so ridiculous. Like, it's, like, what you see on movies. Like, I would have to start, I don't know, like, throwing my hat up and, like, trying to play music for money or something. Because I literally didn't have any. And a lot of the kids that studied abroad, their parents gave them, like, tens of thousands of dollars to do whatever they wanted. And I wasn't one of those kids. So, yeah, lesson learned. Don't, spend all your money in one place.
According to The Amazing Grace, if you beg enough people, you're bound to get enough money for a taxi. I've been watching a lot of Amazing Grace.
I thought you said Amazing Grace for a second. Everyone I was like, oh, does the song really say that?
No, The Amazing Space Race.
All right, next question is... the best amateur drink you've ever made. This one was hard for me, and I don't know if I have an answer yet, so go ahead.
I make pretty ones. They all taste about the same amount of amateur, but the prettiest one that I make right now is just some, like, Jose Cuervo tequila. Like, it's not fancy. And then some lemonade. So it's a shot of tequila, some lemonade in like a tumbler, and then a splash of cranberry juice, and just watch the cranberry juice like tendrils go through the yellowish lemonade. Is really pretty, and I enjoy how it looks.
So it looks like an egg, like a bloody egg.
I mean, I would describe it a little, you know, tastier than a bloody egg in my tasty fruity drink, but you know.
So, I prefer to buy drinks that have already been pre-mixed at a bar. So, I can't say I've made anything more than, like, a vodka lemonade or, a Cosmo mix. So, I'll give a good answer anyways. But I bought these cocktail kits. I think we talked about this last week. But I bought these cocktail kits from a local distillery. And I made an Instagram story, and it's actually really funny. Oh my gosh, we didn't even do our handles at the beginning. We totally forgot that. But anyways, you find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley for the poll. And I saved it as a highlight, but my happy hour story. You can go watch it, but I was attempting to like make this drink really fancy and shake it, and it just kind of spilled, and I didn't have a shaker or a strainer, so it just it turned out well. Like, it was pretty, and it was like a pretty pink color. But that's about the extent of my cocktail making skills.
Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa, she made a video. I don't know what it was on. I saw it on Desus and Mero. She made a gigantic Cosmo with entirely too much vodka. And it was so funny.
I should watch that.
You really should. Just a 70-year-old woman making a giant drink in like one of the huge Cosmo glasses. And she was just like walking around sipping on it. It was really great.
Listen, my grandma's 89 and she still drinks Crown Royal. Like, her and my brother, he'll like go up and that'll be their drink. They'll make like Crown Royal and gin or something. Crown Royal, I don't know, whatever, tonic.
Shouts to Martha's Grammy. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
Anyways, maybe that's something. I did want to take a cocktail class because my mission for 2020 was to like make new friends. But like, obviously that has been put on hold in person. But I did want to take a cocktail class. So maybe I'll try that after the Rona. All right, here's a new one. What is the best concert or sporting event you've ever been to?
This is easy. March 2017. It was the Elite Eight game, for those of you who are not familiar with the NCAA tournament for men's basketball. There are 64 regions of 16 teams. Each region has a championship. Champion that region goes on to the Final Four. So we were in a regional championship. We were playing Kentucky. It was the Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox team. They were really good. We had lost to them earlier in the year on a game-winning three-pointer from Malik Monk, who just went out of his mind at the end of that game. So I wasn't really mad about that game, but I really wanted it back. So we were playing against Kentucky. I remember with like 5 minutes up, Kentucky went up like five or six or seven, and all around the arena in Memphis, I could hear the Go Big Blue chants. And for whatever reason, once I heard them get loud at that moment, I was like, I have a good feeling we're going to win this game. So with, let's see, like 7-8 seconds left, Justin Jackson for Carolina missed a free throw. Kentucky comes down the court, down three, gives it to Malik Monk. Malik Monk hits another three to tie the game. I was having flashbacks to December when he did that earlier. Carolina had a timeout, chose not to call a timeout. My boy Theo came down the court, flicked it back to Luke May, and then the rest is history. Luke May for the win, hits a shot with 0.3 seconds left to send the Heels to the Final Four, and they would go on to win the national championship on April 3rd, 2017. That was the best sporting event I've ever been to. It was the loudest I've ever been in. There is a gif of me on the internet yelling.
There is. I've seen it.
Because I was in the band. So there were cameras on us, like right in our faces the entire game. And that was the best sporting event. Go Heels. Go Luke May. I still can't believe that shot went in.
I put sporting event for you because I knew my answer would have been a concert. There are two concerts that come to mind that are sort of like the best. And one of them was a Beyoncé concert, just because purely the amount of time that she puts into her performances, the amount of talent that she has, the amount of like bangers that she has too. Like, she has some really good songs that you can dance along to. And even though it rained and like we had to, you know, go into shelter, it was lightning. And then when it finished up later and I didn't get home and my feet were super tired, it was still really good. And because I was pretty close up. But I think another one of those concerts would be, I was at this music festival called the Eau Claire Music Festival in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And one of my favorite bands is Bon Iver.
Still, every time I see Bon Iver, I think it's one person.
I mean, he is like the face of the band, Justin Vernon. So like, it's not wrong, but there are other members.
It just sounds like a person's name.
It does. So yeah. No, you're right. But so that was like, so I went 3 times to that festival, and I think the 3rd year I didn't see them perform because I was volunteering. So I'd have to say the 1st year they played all their old hits. It was really great. Like, all the songs you love. Like, I was with my friends. Like, we were, you know, drinking. We had a really good time. The 2nd year, they played through their new album, 22 Million, which is their, I guess, last album that they've put out. But that was really good. So both of those 2 times, like, just under like an open field, stars, friends, drinks, like that was really good. At that same festival, actually, I was seeing a performer called Francis and the Lights, and he had done a couple songs with Chance the Rapper, and Chance the Rapper actually came out like randomly. We knew he was coming out because we had some insider info, but we like went up to the stage and like tried to get there before everything else. So that was probably like 10 p.m. and we had already been out there since like noon, so it was a long day. But seeing Chance come in and like just do the one song was really cool. So
Chance was on a really good show.
Yeah, that was probably my 2 favorite ones.
His coloring book tour was really good. It was really fun.
I can't remember if I went to that one or the one after.
Coloring book tour had the one with the puppets.
No, maybe it was Be Encouraged then. I'll have to ask my friend. We had good seats for that show. That was fun. What is the best reality show?
I added this one because I'm watching Married at First Sight right now.
What? I thought you were watching The Amazing Race. How many reality shows are you watching?
Why can't I watch them all? Yeah, I'm watching Married at First Sight right now because I had a Love is Blind size hole in my heart. So, and I don't know, it's different because they like they straight up get married on the 2nd episode and then they just have to figure it out.
That's horrible. I would honestly hate that.
I'm really digging it right now. I mean, it's intense. People are like, oh, day 2, this isn't going to work. But then they're married, like legally married. So,
is that the best, though?
I mean, it's pretty good. Love is Blind is also pretty good. I don't know. I'm reminded of like a lot of reality game shows. Or did you ever watch Solitary?
Nope.
It was on the Fox Reality Channel. And they literally put like 8 people in a room by themselves. And they were competing against the other people who were also in rooms, but they couldn't see each other or talk to each other. So it was literally just them and like the computer host that was on a TV in front of them. So they had no idea how they were doing versus the rest of the people. So like if you have like an endurance competition, you literally have to go as long as you can go because you can't look over and see how the other person is doing. I think about Solitary a lot. So sure, I'll say Solitary.
I feel like you've brought that up before.
I probably have, but it's worth bringing up again because it's a great show.
Honestly, I don't watch it anymore, but I think the best one, I mean, I feel like it's a tie. Well, I don't want to call The Bachelor or The Bachelorette the best because I think it's pretty problematic, but it's entertaining. But I honestly think the early seasons of Survivor are really good. Like, I was shocked to find out that they're doing a Survivor All-Stars and Boston Rob is coming back. Like, I watched Boston Rob when, I don't know, I was in middle school. I was like, that dude's still going and, like, still trying to compete for money. Like, good for
still
him.
Still married to Amber. You should watch The Amazing Race.
I did. I've seen that season with them.
It is so great. We just watched that season. And he's like conniving in a way that's fun. Like there are some people on The Amazing Race. It's like you are the worst person. But for whatever reason, when it was Boston Rob, I'm like, you know what? You're fun. No. You're a fun guy.
I remember liking him. I remember that was a good season of The Amazing Race. We always watch Amazing Race as a family. So like that's probably pretty top 2. I guess in terms of recent reality shows, I really did like The Circle. I thought that was a really good show. I could not get into Love is Blind. I thought it was really stupid. Yeah, but everything else. Let's see. I don't know how many more we have left. Not that many.
Well, what is the best movie soundtrack? Wait, are we going soundtrack or score?
Ooh, take it however you want.
Still, you go first.
Okay. So it really came down to the composer for me, and the composer is Hans Zimmer, because you have Interstellar, you have Inception, and you have the Pirates of the Caribbean soundtracks, and those are my all-time faves.
And Lion King.
Oh, yeah. Well, I consider, like, Elton John responsible for the soundtrack. I mean, like, yeah, he was there, but Hans Zimmer was there. But yeah, that dude churns out some good results. If I had to pick one out of those three, ooh, that's hard. I think I would have to say Inception. Like, honestly, I think that's one of my favorite soundtracks. Like, it's so, like, it's really good at putting the right kind of music with the scene, because I feel like a lot of times music can just fade into the background. And I know we've talked about this before, but I don't really notice movie soundtracks sometimes. And I, for all those movies that I just listed, like, I definitely could hear, like, people talk about, you know, Star Wars and how they can hear the same themes in different songs and in different movies. And I'm like, I'm just trying to keep track of all the characters. But in Inception and Interstellar, like, I can, you know, that picks up for me. And I think that is why it's probably the best for me. What about you?
I'm going to go with Ludwig Göransson on Black Panther. The Black Panther soundtrack is very, very good. Ludwig, I think, was like roommates or something with Ryan Coogler. They definitely met before, but he has such an ear for motif. He very much comes from like the school of John Williams. Is very Romain Jouadi. Really likes his repetition. Really beats you over the head with what something is supposed to mean. I appreciate that in a score. Some people think it's overkill. I tend to like it. So, yeah.
Whoever did Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, that's probably also one of my favorite songs. Black Panther is really good. I think I need to rewatch that. Maybe I'll rewatch that tonight.
It's a good movie. It's just kind of long.
Yeah, I'm kind of due for, like, let's watch all 20 movies. What is the best roller coaster?
Fury 325 at my home amusement park, Carowinds. It is the Southeast, maybe the world's, I forget. At least the Southeast tallest hypercoaster. It is 325 feet tall.
Yeah, it says world's tallest and fastest giga coaster. I don't know what that means, but
it's really tall and really fast.
Damn. Yeah. Oh my god, I feel like you die riding this.
It's really fun. It's so fast, like, you don't even feel your stomach drop. It's just like, as soon as it's going, it's just like, oh, it's fast now. And I appreciate that.
Okay, this is what it says on the website. Riders begin their adventure on one of three 32-passenger open-air trains to the peak of 325 feet, following a dramatic 81-degree drop. So that's, like, steep.
Almost straight down.
Yeah, then, like an angry hornet chasing its target, riders race into a massive 190-foot-tall barrel turn and a high-speed S-curve, reaching speeds of up to 95 miles an hour. Holy shit.
It's really cool.
That's crazy.
I'm a big fan of that, and they also had a new roller coaster last year called the Copperhead Strike. It's their first launch coaster, and the way it comes out of the tunnel, literally as soon as the train leaves the station, it does like a 5-mile-an-hour corkscrew. So you're literally just hanging by the restraints to keep you there, because it's going so slow that it can't keep you in your seat. It's really fun. Carowinds has really stepped this game up in like the past 10 years.
Wow. I'm like looking at the rides now. I think I need to make a visit. I and we've discussed this, I think, before on the podcast, but I do love roller coasters. We have that common. We used to watch Point of View roller coaster videos.
They're fun.
I haven't been on this personally, but I will say the Superman ride at Six Flags in Chicago, I think, is looks super fun. Like, you're on your stomach, you're kind of like holding on to it, and you like go, it's like a roller coaster, but you're just on your stomach. Like, I think that would be so fun.
Carowinds has one of those. It's okay. I don't love it.
Well,
the flying coasters, they're just kind of uncomfortable because you're like very strapped in.
That's probably true too.
So
it just looks cool. Like, the idea of that looks cool, but we have a local theme park called Valley Fair in Minnesota, and it has rides. Like, we have the Wild Thing, which is fun. We have something called Steel Venom, which is fun. It's kind of like in the shape of a snake, and so the front, like, they both kind of like twist up, and so you're like twisting on the up, and then it like shakes, and then you like go back down. And that's pretty fun. That's kind of scary if you've never done it before. I guess you probably can't see me if you're listening to this, but I was making motions.
It has a, it's a Cedar Fair Park.
Valley Fair?
Yeah. It's where they got the fair from in Cedar Fair.
Ah.
Because there's Cedar Point and Valley Fair. They combined them to make Cedar Fair. Carowinds is a Cedar Fair Park, which is why I said that.
Oh, cool. You know what I don't like, and this will be the last thing I say before we maybe wrap up, but I don't like water slides.
Mm.
In fact, I hate them. Like, you know the ones that are like really tall and then they just like shoot you down? I've never been on one of those because I don't want to die. like they look so scary.
Well, you know, I heard a doctor say if you've ever ingested water from a water park, then you're immune to coronavirus.
Then we're safe, and that explains why we're not sick.
On that note,
thank you for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. We have a lot of really fun stuff planned in the next couple of weeks, so stick around. We're getting innovative on this podcast. And thank you guys for all your support. We'll see you next week.
Y'all keep it easy.
Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
So there's a couple that come to mind. I don't want to. Okay, so not a couple. There's two. Well, that is, never mind. We're just gonna start that over.